Hallelujah. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 5. Sunday morning, I'll come back to, I don't know what I'm coming back. I've got something in my heart Sunday morning entitled "Nowhere But Anywhere But Backwards." And I have a feeling Sunday morning is going to be one of those crazy radical me running the top of seats, preaching, throwing stuff on people. So we'll just see how that goes. All right, Mark chapter 5. Take out your notes tonight. You're going to need them. Now, there's not going to be anything on the screen because all of it's in front of you in notes. But you're going to need something to write with tonight. Mark chapter 5. Let's look at verse number 21, please. Mark 5, 21. Now, when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him. He was by the sea, and behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she'll live." And Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed with him and thronged him. Verse number 25. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. The King James says, had an issue. Had an issue. Everybody say, had an issue. Now, a certain woman had an issue of blood for 12 years, had suffered many things from many physicians, had spent all that she had and was no better, but grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd, touched his garment, for she said, "If I may only but touch his clothes, I shall be well." Tonight, what I want to do for the next few minutes is I want to preach on this subject of issues. And so for a few minutes before we get to the notes, I'm just going to get into a little bit of introduction. The Bible says, Mark chapter 5, verse number 25. You guys know this story. It is a very popular story in the Bible. Preachers have preached it for years about the woman with the issue of blood suffered 12 years. I have preached this woman every way but Sunday. And I've even preached her Sunday. I mean, I've preached her every way that you can preach this woman. I've preached about the remedy or the method of how faith comes into fruition in verse number 27 when it says she heard, she came, and she touched. Right? Faith, hearing, action, and works. Right? That's the recipe for a miracle. I've preached it like that. I've preached about 12 years and how that she suffered, and 12 being the number of order. I've talked about how that Jairus' daughter was 12 years old, died at 12, and she suffered for 12 years old. I've preached how one generation has died while the other generation has hemorrhaged.
Come on.
Selah. There's all kinds of ways that I could preach this tonight, but I just want to simply deal with this one word, issue. The Bible says in verse 25, a certain woman had an issue. She had an issue. Now, the scripture tells us that she was separated and that she was alone. And day by day, day after day, month after month, year after year, with no physical contact from any other human being, probably than just her immediate family, because this is what the issue of blood did for you. When you had a blood issue in the Bible, you were considered unclean, and therefore you were separated from everybody. Her very presence would have caused someone who knew her condition to recoil in order to get away from her because they did not want to contaminate themselves. And the scripture tells us that for 12 years, her life hemorrhaged from her body, leaving her weak and unclean in the eyes of her family and her community. I want you to think about this. She was alone. She was cut off, hearing not only the whispers of her neighbors, but also the screams of her own self-condemnation. How could she have gotten her life into this mess? The Bible tells us that she had invested the little money that she had in one false hope after another to rid herself of this plague, but it was to no avail. There was not a counselor, there was not a doctor who did not know her, that did not try to sell her on the remedy for her situation. No matter what she spent, no matter what she did, no matter what kind of order she followed, the Bible says she still grew worse. And with that, her pocketbook became emptier by the moment, till the scripture says she had spent all that she had, Jerry. She had nothing left. And with the walls of her condition closing in on her, she finally realizes that she can no longer live with this issue in her life. She had to act, even if it meant she acted alone if necessary. She had to do something. She had to take drastic measures if need be to get well. She could not live with this issue any longer. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, you can't live with this issue any longer. And when we first see her in the Bible, she is weakly walking, sometimes crawling, pushing in desperation through the suffocating crowd that was around to get to her one last best hope, this man named Jesus that she had obviously heard about, who was a miracle worker. Now, yes, I know that she lived in Israel and that you and I live in America. I know that she lived in the first century and you and I live in the 21st century. I know that she was poor and you, by any comparison of that time and era, are actually quite rich compared to this woman. I know that she's a woman and some of you in here are a man. I know all of that. We could look at all of the differences and the dichotomies between her and us. But what I want to do tonight is, for a few moments, I want to look closely at this woman as she presses through the mob. I want you to get a mental picture in your mind of this weak, frail, emaciated, sick woman who is almost pasty white clear in her presence as she is pressing through this mob to get to this man named Jesus. And I want you to take a good look at the suffering face. I want you to get it in your mind, her face, as she's trying so desperately to conceal from all of those around her who would reject her and her request. She's trying to keep secret the issue that is in her life. And when you get close enough to this woman, as you look at her, you will discern in her features. You will find this interesting picture that she looks just like you. And she looks just like me. Now let me explain what I mean by that. All of us in this room have secret issues that hinder us. There's nobody in this room that don't have a skeleton in the closet. Now y'all better not look at me in that tone of voice, because I will get all up in your business tonight. There is nobody in life that does not have some kind of secret issue that hinders them. Some kind of secret struggle that keeps them barren, that keeps them hidden, that keeps them separated. Issues like fear and guilt and shame and failure and hurt. All of these different issues that get into our life that drain us from the abundant life that Jesus Christ died to give us. Everybody has an issue. I don't know anybody, preacher or layman, that does not have an issue somewhere in their life. And if you're in here tonight and you say you don't have an issue, I want to tell you that you and the devil are a liar. Because everybody has it might be a family issue. It might be a children issue. It might be a money issue, a relational issue. It could even be a church issue. But everybody under the sound of my voice has an issue in their life tonight. And regardless of the specific issue, all of us experience limitations in our walk in the kingdom of God. And just like it was with this woman's issue, there's only one answer. There's only one way to deal with any issue in our life. We have got to get to Jesus and get a hand on the man who can change our life forever. If you believe that, give the Lord a little praise in this church. Now, what exactly is an issue? An issue is a condition, an attitude, a circumstance that robs us of the abundant life Jesus died to secure for us. Issues are those private, secret things of our past. Issues are those things in our present that show up to hinder us, to block us, to trouble us, to hold us hostage, or even to abort and destroy our dreams, our hopes, our desires, our destinies. Issues are the challenges They are the problems, the crises that attach themselves to us to block us from being successful in God, from being victorious in life, from being effective for the kingdom of God. Issues. The Bible says the woman had an issue, and everybody under the sound of my voice has got an issue. And let me tell you something I've learned about life. And I'm 52 now and pastored 30 something years. Something I've learned about life is that issues show up without invitation. And if you're going to tweet anything, you need to tweet that. Issues always show up without invitation. They're like a flat tire on a car. They never show up at the right time. Come on, somebody. They're always frustrating, time-consuming, costly, and they usually happen when the storm of your life is raging and you have to get out and get wet to deal with the issue that comes to your life. I thought I had some people in Cookeville that know what I'm talking about. Everybody's got an issue, and this word issue has become a popular term in modern psychology in our day. And before we may have talked about besetting sins. That's how we used to call it, sin, besetting sins, the thing that held us back from being all that called us to be. Well, today we don't want to call it sin, so we just call it an issue. Everybody has an issue. So the real question tonight is, what do issues look like? How do I define them, pinpoint them, and how do they affect my life? Now, what birthed this message is I have, as of recent, gotten into watching videos of people with metal detectors. My wife says I'm driving her crazy because every night for hours and hours and hours, I love to watch people metal detect and dig these little treasures out of the ground. These are things, Adam, that people have walked over, built houses upon, raise their children on. And there were secret things that were under the surface of the earth that nobody knew was there until the right equipment came along to pinpoint the issue. And what I'm believing tonight is for the Holy Ghost to take a metal detector tonight and to unearth some things. Now, Sunday I'm going to talk about the destiny that's in you, but right now I'm going to talk about the disease that's in you. Sunday I'm going to talk about the desire that's in you, but tonight I'm going to talk about the things that are in you that will destroy you. Issues hiding under the surface of your life. How do I locate them? How do I know what they are? Well, what I'm going to give you tonight is just some thoughts that's been born out of 52 years of living and dealing with my own issues and 35 years of helping people deal with other issues. Write these things down. Let me tell you some stuff about your issues tonight. Let me put a metal detector on it. Number one, issues are secret. Write it down. Issues are secret. Something I've learned about issues, that they're uniquely personal things that we try to push out of our way. But on our own, we don't have the strength to deal with them. So what we do is we hide these problems from others, and we pray that nobody will ever, for the love of God, nobody ever discover the secret issue of my life. And there are people tonight that have secret wounds and imperfections and sins and grief and regret and things in your life that you wish would have never happened. And some of you in here tonight have not even talked about them. There are secrets that spouses don't know about in this room tonight. Mr. Screen, there are secrets. Everybody's sitting there like this right here. You won't even look at your husband or anybody like that. Focus on you, preacher. Issues are always secret. And I think the dangerous thing about issues is that we keep them secret. Because what I found is whatever we expose, God can heal. But the things that we try to conceal, God can't heal. And so we've got to figure out how to get the issues out of the secret place so that God can touch. But the problem with exposing the secret is I now become vulnerable to everybody around me. Now I become a target. Now I open myself up to potentially getting hurt again or getting mistreated again. But I need to tell you, you brought me a metal detector. See, man, I've been trying to have this for my, okay, I'm going to preach with a metal detector tonight. Thank you, sir. Hang on here. He done worked me up here. Come on, I'm going to dig out some issues tonight. But how many know if we'll get it out of the ground, if we'll get it out from being covered up, God can touch it. God can heal it. We need to expose the issues of our life. He's going to make me preach with a metal detector. He done messed up my whole sermon now. On your paper, I put a scripture there. It's in the Message translation. I love it in this translation. Luke chapter 12, verse number 2. You can't keep your true self hidden forever. Come on, say that out loud with me. You can't keep your true self hidden forever. Before long, you're going to be exposed. It's just a matter of time that what is secret comes into light. The Bible says everything that is secret is eventually going to come to the light. And I don't know how it's going to come to light. It might seep out in your relationship. It might seep out over time. But I'm telling you, whatever is in the ground of your life is eventually going to come out. You can't hide behind the religious mask forever. Oh, I could preach about this right now. Sitting in church, acting like ain't nothing wrong, and knowing that our whole life is in shambles and about to fall apart. I've got an issue and it's a secret. And I don't want all those church people to know about it because they'll think I'm not as spiritual as I need to be. No, let me tell you something, brother. We want to know about your secret issues because the Bible says we who are spiritual will restore such a one. If you're in a church and you can't expose the secret things of your life, you need to get out of that church and go find you a church where you can find people that will love you even in your mess. I got to get the secret things out of my life. I like this. He said, you can't keep the true self hidden forever. Before long, you're going to be exposed. You can't hide behind religious masks forever. Sooner or later, the mask will slip and your face will be known. Take off the mask. Second thing you need to know about secrets is that issues cause separation. Issues cause separation. They're secret and they also cause separation. I think one of the major dangers of our issues is they keep us separated vertically and horizontally. They separate us from God and they separate us from people. Issues make us fear God. And make us fear people. We fear relationship. We fear ministry. We fear intimacy. We're frightened that we may appear vulnerable and unspiritual in the sight of people. It separates us. So in some small way, in the recesses of the subconscious of our mind, we have talked ourselves into this notion that if we don't ever bring it up, God won't bring it up. And that somehow or another, God doesn't really know Tony, the issue. Can I tell you something? The all-seeing eye of God sees everything, good and bad in your life. And the good news tonight is God has not changed his opinion about you or your destiny or the call of God on your life because of any issue that's going on right now. He's simply saying, don't let the issue separate you. Vertically or horizontally. Listen to Isaiah chapter 59. Your sins are the roadblock between you and your God. It separates you. The secret things are the things that separate you. The issues are the things that separate you. They're your roadblock between you and God. And listen to what it says. And that's why he doesn't answer your prayers or let you see his face. Did you hear what that just said? That's why he doesn't answer your prayer. I wonder how many unanswered prayers are in the house tonight because we have not dealt with the issue. Now do you see why this woman's wanting to get to Jesus? She's got some issues. She's got to get it out of her life. Right? Number three, issues always flow from a source. Issues always flow from a source. Issues don't just pop up. They have a source. In fact, the Greek word for issues is ruis, which literally means a flowing. This is the reason the New King James says the woman had a flow of blood, because that is the Greek word for the word issue. It is a flowing. See, issues in our life, such as fear and anger and bitterness, whatever it is, they all flow from a source. And that source is a past experience. Somewhere in your life, there has been a moment where either you did something or somebody else done something, and you got stuck in that moment. And from that moment, it is flowing into every other part of your life. You treat your kids like you saw your daddy treat you. You treat your husband like you saw your wife treat him, or your mother treat him. Come on, somebody. I'm going to get up in your business tonight. I'm talking about the deep things in our life that keep us separated from God. Ladies and gentlemen, they flow from a source. They're not just falling out of a sky onto you at that moment. Now, let me tell you what's happening when you get in an argument and you lose your cool. It's because somewhere along the way you were hurt, and there is a scab where that scar is, and somebody reached. They didn't mean to. They didn't even know that they were doing it. They didn't even have an inkling that you'd ever been hurt there before. But somehow or another, in the moment, what they said flicked the scab off your life, and it opened that wound back up again. The true issue is you never let God really touch that and heal that. It's all right to have a scar, but it's not okay to carry a scab around. It's all right to have a scar in Jesus, but it's not okay to have a scab in Jesus where every now and again I can just pull it off and let the blood flow and look at the pain and relive it all over again. Scars are okay because I can look at a scar and say, that's where I once was hurt, but I've been healed now. I can touch it and say, Jesus has touched that. And I'm not, listen, I don't have no pain on it. I might not have the feeling that I need there on that anymore, but I don't have the pain that I used to have. But a scab is something that every time you touch it, it hurts, and we got too many scabs in church, not enough scars in church that have been healed by the blood of Jesus. I'm preaching myself crazy right now. You need to let Jesus heal that marriage, heal that divorce, heal that. Let me give you some scripture so you'll think I'm actually preaching. Romans chapter 7, verse 21 through 24. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment that I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's command, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Parts of me covet to rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. Multiple personality disorders. Sitting in the body of Christ. Speaking in tongues one moment, gossiping the next. Why? Because I got an issue. Praising God, singing the songs of Zion in one moment. Perversion the next. Why? Because I've got an issue. There's still a part of you that has not been crucified with Christ. God doesn't want just part of you. God wants all of you. I would that you'd be sanctified, your whole body, soul, and spirit. God wants you emotionally well. God wants you physically well. God wants you mentally well. God wants all of you well. We got too many sick, diseased, messed up, jacked up crazy people in the body of Christ who have not let Jesus yet touch their issue. Tonight, you need to do whatever you got to do. Push past the crowd of opinion and get to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment and let Jesus heal. Come on, somebody take 30 seconds and give God a praise in this room. Praise myself happy. This is the Apostle Paul that's writing this, by the way. The man that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. The greatest apostle to the Gentiles. This is the Apostle Paul. Listen to what he's talking about. He said, I've tried everything and nothing helps. I went to the counselor. I'm still crazy. I went to the doctor. I'm still sick. I went to the lawyer. I'm still confused. I've tried everything. Isn't that what the Bible says about this woman? She tried everything. But she only grew worse. I'm not against counselors, not against doctors. I believe in all of it. We got them sitting here in this church. I believe in all of it. I believe that you ought to use any gift of healing that you can use to get well. But I fear that we try to cancel or counsel things that we can only cast out. There are people that are carrying demons that what they need is not a psychologist. They need a preacher with an anointing to put hands on them and to cast the evil spirit that is tormenting their mind and troubling their soul. That's not what we want to do. We want to give them some self-help technique and some psychobabble to get them to help them talk themselves into how good they are. You can't make the old man good. You can't make the sinful man good. You have to crucify the sinful man. Death is the only thing he understands, and you got to put that thing to death. And what we need to do is quit running so much to the professionals and start running to Jesus and say, Jesus, just touch the issue of my life. That's not what we do. I've always been amazed. And Jerry probably jump on this. Steve and everybody else in here that's pastor, I've always been amazed. People come to me and say, Pastor, will you help me? And I've got the reputation. Don't go to pastor for counseling. He's a bad counselor. No, it's not that I'm a bad counselor. You're a bad listener. I'm a very practical man. Everything is black and white when it comes to the issues of my life. If I'm broke, I know how to fix the issue. I find the word of God. And I find where it says that God has called me to the abundant life. And then I start practicing what I need to practice to come out of my poverty. If I'm angry, I go to the word of God and I find out what the word of God says about my issue. And then I take that anger to Jesus and realize there is a place where you can be angry and sin not. There is a healthy anger and an unhealthy anger. And I divide soul from spirit. And marrow from bone. And I decide that that anger is not going to control my life. But what people want to do is they want to come and lay on the couch. And I'm not against that. Look at me. I'm not against. I have been on many couches myself. Did you hear what I said? But what I'm saying is in the body of Christ, we have invested so much in the psychological realm that we have forgotten that the real issues of our life are spiritual things. They're a heart issue. It's a character issue. It's a source issue. And the only way something spiritual can be dealt with is with something spiritual. They that come to God must worship him in spirit and in truth, for God is a spirit. You can't get some people free by just talking to them about how God wants them to take their life and give them some kind of prescription. Some people you can only get free by getting them into an encounter in the glory of God where they realize they need to let God reach deep down into the depths of their soul and pull their root out of their life. Know what's into me tonight, but I feel a preach up in this house right now. Come on, somebody give the Lord a shout in this room. Come on, I'm tired of the issues in my life. Oh God, I don't know if y'all can handle number 4. Number four, are y'all ready?
Yes.
Now, I got to go back and I got to finish what Paul said here. Just when I least expect it, they take charge. There's somebody else in me working. I've tried everything, and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Is there no one? Say that out loud. Is there no one who can do anything? Look at me. No. There is no one person who can do anything for you. But there is one Lord that if you get to Him, He can turn everything around. He can turn brokenness into beauty. He can turn ashes into glory. He can turn, come on somebody, He can turn bitterness into blessing. He can turn sickness into healing. He can turn division into unity. I'm talking about a Jesus who knows how to heal. Now, Cookville ain't ready for this kind of stuff. No, they like it calm. Problem is, I'm not calm. I got to get to number four. I'm about out of time. Where does time go when I'm preaching? Number four, issues result in bondage. Now, notice, issues are secret. And if the issue goes on long enough, it'll separate. And if issue goes on long enough, that source will just flow in your life. And if you're not careful, that issue will turn into a bondage. You see, as we carry our issues with us year after year, we begin to adapt our lives to our issues. Oh yeah, I feel like we begin to adjust our lives to our issues instead of the issues to the life of God that's on the inside of us. We allow the issue to tell us whether we're going to be happy, content, or satisfied. The issue controls my life. Look at this woman. The woman with the issue of blood, it limited her entire existence to the secret issue that plagued her. After a while, the issue got so bad, she became so isolated that it was just her in an empty, dark house surrounded by depression and death. You know anybody like that? I know, look at me. I know good, godly, Bible-believing, spirit-filled, tongue-talking people who've been in church all their life that have allowed some kind of issue to back them into a corner and control their existence. The devil is alive. That's not going to happen for me. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not letting you or an issue control my life. No. Every issue has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus Christ. It's going to be controlled by Jesus. It's not going to control the Jesus in me. You see, a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And our lives are only as effective as the issues that we've resolved. Did you hear what I said? A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. And our lives are only effective as the issues that we've resolved. We can't let these issues control our life. Too often we walk through life in a spiritual paranoia, allowing our issues to direct our destinies instead of our destinies to determine our issues. When are you going to get sick and tired of that? When are you going to get sick? See, some of you just need to get mad about it. Quit letting the devil push you around. The Bible says resist him steadfast in the faith. Some of y'all need to get a Mike Tyson. I'm talking about a ear-biting, knock your block off anointing where when the devil gets close to you, you just bite his ear. You just tell him, you're not going to control my life. Some of you need to get a Muhammad Ali in on it. You float like a butterfly, sting like a bee. Tell that devil, you think you want some of this? Come and get some of this. But I'm telling you right now, I'll be your worst nightmare. You better not mess with me. I'll give you a five-fold anointing and cast you out of my life and my family. Somebody needs to get mad at the devil and tell him to go to hell, and you can't have my life. You're not going to control me. Gonna bow down to that. We liable to break out in revival. About to make me want to come back tomorrow night to see what God does. I feel something rolling up in here. Issues result in bondage. Oh, I got to give you some scripture because you don't think I'm preaching yet. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. I love this, but if you're not sure, if you notice that you're acting in ways inconsistent with what you believe. Some days trying to oppose your opinion on others, and other days just trying to please them. Then you know that you're out of line. If the way you live isn't consistent with what you believe, then it's wrong. Isn't that good? If the way you live isn't consistent with what you believe, it's wrong. We got to quit talking faith and start living faith. We got to quit talking healing, start living healing. We got to quit talking freedom and start living freedom. Come on. We got to quit talking unity and start living unity. We got to... If it isn't consistent with what I believe, why am I living it? It results in bondage. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm glad he's working on your issue because he's about to kill me. Yeah, I don't even know if y'all can handle number 5. I mean, if I get to number 6, it's going to be all right, but I don't know if you handle number 5. Issues often become excuses.
Yes, they do.
Issues, oh glory, often become excuses. Can't tell you how many talented people that I've watched headed for greatness instead find themselves detoured onto the side road full of doubt, unbelief, and hurt, and end up in the ditch of destruction because issues become excuses. And then, Adam, when you try to talk to them about the issue, when you try to help disciple them along to be who God's called them to be, when you take the metal detector of the Holy Ghost,
come on,
and you say, let me locate the issue of your life, and finally that thing goes off, instead of them admitting to it, uncovering it, and letting God heal it,
come on,
do you know what they do? They make excuses for it. Well, Pastor, I have bitterness because of this relationship that went bad in my life. Or, Pastor, I don't believe that God is a God who healed because of this person that I loved who died of a disease in my life. It changed my theology. Instead of our theology determining our life, we allow life to determine our theology. Well, if I do that, if I descend into that, I can't have faith for anything. And if you descend into that, you really don't understand the whole realm of faith anyway. The idea of faith is conflict by its very nature. That's the reason Paul said, I fought the good fight of faith. Well, faith. Help me with something. Faith is a fight. If you think you're just going to walk into every promise that God has made over your life without the devil trying to stop you, you don't understand that faith is a fight. But I came to tell somebody, say it one key for me, that faith is warfare. Because whenever you make up your mind that you're going to follow what God said, there's always going to be an obstacle to tell you that the destination is not there. But I've come to tell you tonight that if I have a desire, the destination exists. And sometimes you just got to fight the good fight of faith. Sometimes you just got to put your nose to the grindstone. Sometimes you just got to set your face like a flint. Sometimes you just got to say, I'm going to hold on and I'm not going to turn loose till I see everything that God has promised for my life. Faith is a fight. Faith is warfare. Hallelujah. Praying your children out of bondage is warfare. Praying sickness out of your household is warfare. Come on, somebody. Praying revival into a city is warfare. And God is looking for some warriors who'll fight the good fight of faith, who'll resist steadfast. Me tonight. Fight for your victory. Fight for your victory. Fight for your healing. Fight for your breakthrough. Fight. I'm not going to quit till I see God come through. Hey, I done preached myself happy up in here. Come on, touch your neighbor and say, no more excuses. Quit making excuses for your dysfunction. Quit making excuses for your unbelief. Quit making excuses for the division in your house. Quit making excuses for carrying around that depression and that discouragement. It don't matter what happened to you. It don't matter what you've been through. I come to tell you tonight, you can fight the good fight of faith. Come on, somebody. I came to pull down some stronghold. I came to leap over walls tonight and run through some truth. I feel like God's healing some issues in the room right now. I feel like God is healing some issues in the room. Come on, somebody give God a praise in this room. Come on, praise Him. Praise Him. An excuse for my dysfunction. I can't get healed as long as I'm making excuses for it. Quit making excuses for what's going on in your life. I know you've been mistreated and talked about, walked upon. I know people have abused you and misused you. I know they have. And I got news for you. If you live till tomorrow, it's probably going to happen again. But you can't let yesterday's experience become an excuse for your existence. Let it go. Let it go. Some of you are worried about people that walked out on you a long time ago. You need to give the gift of goodbye. There are some people that don't need to be in your life. They're not qualified for where you're headed in God. And God had to remove them from your life. Quit grieving over. Quit grieving over. Some of you have been grieving over pain experiences. Reminds me of David. His son dies. And he's grieving. But there came a point When David got out from that grief and put on his kingly garments again, and everybody around him thought he lost his mind. They said, "Why aren't you crying?" He said, "I can't change nothing. I can't change nothing. I can't bring him back." Some of y'all trying to bring back some things that don't need to be brought back. Let it die. I know it hurts. I know it hurts, but let it die. I don't know who I'm talking to right now. Let it die. Let Shaniqua die. Let Bobo die. Let them die. Let it go. That was my hood rat that came out right there. Sorry. I'm tired of watching Christians grieve over people that have walked out of their life. They hurt you. Baby, let it go. You can't get healed trying to hold on to yesterday. Put it in the rearview mirror of your life. Chalk it up to a bad experience and move on, because God's got something better for you in your tomorrow, right now, waiting on you. But you gotta let this go so that you can embrace that. David said, I can't bring him back, but I can go to him. I'm not gonna let this moment stop me from being the king that God has called me to be. My gosh, who in the world am I talking to in here tonight? This is how I preached all the time. Y'all just hadn't got used to this, but when we got in this prophetic flow over the course of the last couple of weeks, God's just starting to turn some crazy stuff loose in me. Y'all better get ready. I'm telling you, revival is happening. Revival is happening. Listen, it's not coming, it's here. There's a wave of the glory of God that's already here. There's an atmosphere in the building that's already here. God is here. The glory of the Lord is filling the house. Makes preaching easy and singing easy and testifying easy and announcements easy. It's the glory of God. Shout, no more excuses. No more excuses. Can I give you number six? What are y'all sitting down for, all right? Can I give you a number six? Is it okay? Can we take another minute here? Number six. Write this down. Issues can be used by Satan to defeat or destroy us. I come to tell you tonight, this issue isn't really about you. It's a tactic of the devil to destroy the call of God on your life. It's a strategy of hell. And if you don't resolve this issue, you say, "Well, hold it, preacher. What do I got to do to resolve the issue?" Just touch Jesus. Yes. Look here. Excuse me. Pardon me. Get out of my way. Whatever you got to do. This is the reason you should never judge anybody's worship in a church service. Because there are some people that just cannot get the touch they need by sitting comfortably in a seat. Some people have to press by the crowd. Some people got to climb over chairs. Some people got to run up the aisle. Some people are so radical that they say, "I can't just be normal. I've got to press." Somebody in here needs to press through the opinions of people. Through the moment and get their hands on Jesus. I can't heal you. I can't heal you. Steve can't heal you. Pam can't heal you. Ron can't heal you. Adam can't heal you. But I know that there is somebody who his name is Jehovah Rapha, for he is the Lord that healeth thee. And if you'll just press through the crowd, press through the pain, press through the embarrassment. I'm gonna have to buy this CD. Y'all don't know this, but whenever I'm preaching, I watch people on Sunday morning. And in services, when the anointing starts moving like right now, I notice people have invited visitors to church. And the freak out anointing starts setting on them. Please, Lord, calm Pastor down. Please, Lord, please, Jesus. Jesus, you know I've been working on Rhonda for a long time. I finally got her to church, and now he gonna go crazy. And they don't know it, but the person they brought has an issue. And they've never been to a church service where the anointing was present, where the glory was present, that could destroy the yoke and set them free. And I've watched them sit there in the seat beside the person with tears rolling down their face. And what they didn't, and listen, what they didn't know is if the person beside them that brought them just had enough faith in the anointing that was in the room, if they just move out of the way and let God do what he wants to do, that person would have got up out of their seat and run to the altar, and they would have grabbed a hold of the hem of Jesus' garment, and God would have stopped the issue in its tracks. Plus, can I just say, while I'm on this soapbox, we need some church services to make us a little bit uncomfortable. I hope the anointing gets so crazy in here that all y'all come like that. Well, I would invite her to church, but I'm scared we might have one of those swinging from the chandeliers services where people who are radical and on fire, full of the Holy Ghost and fire. See, y'all don't understand. I'll get my breakthrough and let you carry your burden right out the door. But I'm not walking out of here the same way that I came. Well, I've got to pray. I've got to praise and I've got to get it out. I've got to pray. I've got to pray. I need all my singers up here on the platform. I got to pray. I've got to pray, I got to praise, and I got to get it out. On the count of three, these musicians are going to go into some 4-4 time. Take them to church, brother. I want us to take them to church. Are y'all ready? Well, I've got to praise. I got to praise and I got to let it out. I got to praise. say, but Pastor, hold it. I got an issue, and I don't know if God can use my issue. Let me read to you 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9. And he, God, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Listen to me. You got an issue, I want you to hear this list. Moses stuttered. David's armor didn't fit. John Mark was rejected by Paul. And Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Amos's only training was in the school of fig tree pruning. Jacob was a liar. David had an affair. Solomon was too rich. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Timothy had an ulcer. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. John was self-righteous. And Jesus was too poor. Naomi was a widow. Paul was a murderer. And so was Moses. Jonah ran from God, and Miriam had a gossiping mouth. Gideon and Thomas both doubted. Jeremiah was depressed and suicidal. Elisha burned out, and John the Baptist was a loudmouth. Martha was a worrywart. Mary was lazy, and Noah even got drunk. Did I mention that Moses had a very short fuse? So did Peter. He was even a cusser. But yet God said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Give you the highest praise. I give you the highest praise.
Give you the highest praise.
I give you the highest
praise. You're worthy.
African-American brother right back there. You were here Sunday or two ago. Come right here. I got a word from the Lord for you. The Spirit of God, by the way, I got the same shoes. I like them. The Spirit of God says you're an entrepreneur and I give you a gift. And God says you're working on one brand, but I'm going to give you another. And it's going to bless you. You might even be working on something. I don't know. But God says I'm about to give you something and it's going to bless you. But God said, you've been told this many times. God said to tell you there's a generational anointing on you. Sunday morning, I'm going to be preaching a message. And if you miss it, you're going to miss the real word that God has for you. I'm going to be preaching to you Sunday morning. The idea that God is giving you is not going to be just about the brand. There's a call on your life. And God's going to use you in this call. And you've been like Jonah a little bit. You've been trying to go this way and that way, and you've ended up in the belly of a lot of fishes. But God said, I'm about to spit you up and I'm going to use you. God said, I've not changed my mind on your life. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've been. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, tell him I love him. I've never changed my mind. There's a call on his life, and I'm going to use him for my glory. And he's going to bring many people out of bondage into the marvelous light. Hallelujah. Yeah. Woo. I feel the glory. Is it Tavo? Is it Tavo? Stand up, Tavo. I got a word for you. I don't know nothing about you. And Kelly, have I talked to you about him at all? Other than you brought me a metal detector. Well, I want you to look at me. Turn around and look that way. Just look behind you. Look over your shoulder. Look over your shoulder. All right? Turn back around. It's not about those people coming in here. God said that's the last time you're going to look back. God said that's the last time you're going to look back. I hear this scripture coming to my mind. I hear this scripture. When I walked through the waters, they did not overflow me. And when I walked through the fire, I was not burned. And I hear the Lord saying, Tavo, look back. I brought you through many rivers. I brought you through many fires. And what the enemy tried to bring into your life to destroy you and kill you did not work. I've not given up on you, Tavo. My love is still pointed your direction. For I am going to do a new thing. Old things are passed away. I wish somebody could give him some glory. Glory. Now, Tavo, Sunday morning, I'm going to be preaching to you too. A shift has happened. Something has changed. God has started stirring the water. This is becoming a seedbed for miracles. Yeah. this is a reason you should never miss a service. You never know. Look, you're going to get to say you were here when God broke out in revival. This is a reason you should never, you never know. It might be on a Wednesday, it might be on a Sunday, you never know. I'm going to tell you about the Holy Ghost, what I've seen happen. When God starts moving like this in the prophetic, miracles start happening, healings start happening. Healings start happening. And there's coming a day shortly, it won't be long, this is not long, shortly, that we're going to be in worship and people are going to come like Pam and just say, I just got healed. I was sick and I just got healed. You're not going to have to provoke it. They're just going to say, I got to say something. I was sick and I got healed. I was hurting and I got healed. Yeah. Now sing it with me. Don't repeat it. I give you the highest praise. Give you the highest praise. I give you the highest praise. I give you the highest praise. For you are worthy to be lifted up.
Come on, sing it.
For you are worthy. I'm gonna put an up on it. For you are worthy to be lifted up. I need some on that right there. For you are worthy to be lifted up. Yeah. For you are worthy to be lifted up. Tell him he's worthy right now. For you are worthy to be lifted up. For you are worthy to be lifted up.
You are for you.
For you are worthy to be lifted up. Come on, now we've led you in a song. Why don't you just sing your own song? Why don't you just praise him from the authenticity of the depths of your soul?
Give you the high.
Come on, you can do better. Come on, one more time. I give you the. And then we would sing this. Lift him up, lift him up, lift him up.
Lift him up,
lift him up,
lift him up.
Come on, throw those hands. Lift him up,
lift him up, lift him up.
Lift him
up, lift him up, lift him up. Lift him up, lift him up, lift him up. Lift him up, lift him up, lift him up.
Church.